Welcome to The Sunday Soother, a podcast, newsletter, and community about authentic living and compassionate personal development. I'm your host, Katherine Andrews, a life coach, online teacher, and writer focused on self-reflection, mindfulness, and how to create meaning in our everyday lives in practical ways. Join me weekly for conversations about personal growth, spirituality, self-discovery, and self-care, and how we can navigate this messy world with hope and humanity. Hey, everybody, it's Katherine, and welcome back to the Sunday Soother podcast. I am recording this podcast while sitting at the side of a creek in Leesburg, Virginia, and I have been committing to doing, since it's finally warmish again, and this week it's been beautiful, 70s and 80s, but I'm committing to a practice of morning sunrise light and earthing. Earthing really just being putting your bare skin on the earth, on grass, on soil, on beach, in water, anywhere, on trees, you know, anything natural. And seeing how that kind of impacts my physical energy and outcomes in the next couple of weeks. I plan on recording a podcast on it too. So I was up this morning at sunrise, which was about 6:30 a.m. my time, and just looked at the sky and did some journaling for about 20 minutes, and it was really awesome. And now I'm lucky enough to have finished working at a cafe and came to this little sweet field to record this podcast for you on really fun, literal tarot stories. So I feel like I get the biggest reactions to tarot when I talk about how it can be used as a literal tool, not just like a divination or mystical or sort of emotional interpretive tool. Like, tarot can give you just plain answers that are very straightforward using the imagery on the card. So I wanted to talk about four stories where I've had that experience today. So first off, just know the Joyful Tarot is still open for enrollment. We start April 23rd. So that's this Tuesday. Class times are at 8 p.m. They will go 8 p.m. Eastern, that is. All classes are recorded for replay, and you really actually don't have to attend live if you don't want to. The way that I record my classes is that I record them on this learning platform called Kajabi, which also has an app, and you can download the app, and you can kind of listen to the classes like podcasts to go. So that can be really handy. It will be fun to join live because the classes are actually going to be very practical. So I'm going to be teaching some concepts, and then we're going to be practicing together. So it's like, instead of going to a class where I teach you theories about weightlifting, you'll be going to a class where I'll teach you theories about weightlifting, and then we will lift weights together, and I will point out like some things on your form or some ideas or different ways of doing it or help you understand how to better do it, right? So there's such like a beautiful element of doing work together live instead of me teaching a concept and then being like, well, here's your homework for the week. See you later. Good luck. So I really wanted to incorporate more of that live protocol for you guys, because I think there can be a lot of accountability and growth and just like actually doing the work, right? It's kind of, it's like a co-working thing. Body doubling, right? For those in the ADHD community can know that body doubling can be really effective in getting the work done. So yeah, it is still open. It'll be open until the 23rd, and then we'll get started. So I'm really excited for that. So I wanted to record this to give you some like extra magic sparkle about how you could use tarot in your life too for literal answers. So let's start. There's four stories I'm going to tell today. So the first one I actually told last week. So if you listen to the podcast already, you'll have heard me told the story. So I will just keep it short and sweet. But I was doing a feng shui reading for a client, and I would say, well, actually, let me even back up first. What do I mean when I say that tarot can be used literally? So when you think of tarot, whether you're a new reader or never have read tarot or have read for a long time, it's almost like you're reading tarot and you're trying to give emotional counsel to a person via the meanings of the cards. So if, and kind of like give them advice about the energies of their life, right? People usually come to something like tarot and they're asking for insight around a situation. Should I take this new job? Should I date this person? What's blocking me from love, right? And tarot is awesome at those things. And that's a very traditional way of using tarot. So when you come to a tarot reading and they pull a card like, let's say you're looking for a new career and they pull a card that is like the devil and plus the lovers, there might be something in there about like what's blocking you from finding a new job is your addiction to external validation, or that your self-worth is based on your job, right? So there is like kind of an analysis. It's almost a psychoanalysis of the energies going on with tarot that can be read through the cards, right? And I think that's how most of us understand tarot. But tarot can like also try to point you very directly to an answer using the imagery on the cards. So if you know anything about tarot, and if you don't, there are 78 cards in the deck, and they are image-based, right? And we're talking about the standard Rider-Waite deck. So the cards have all sorts of depictions on them. They have people, they have nature items, they have animals, they have characters, they have landscapes, right? And so, but they also have literal things. So listen to these stories, and I think you'll get what I'm saying about this. So the first story is like the one I referred to last week. So tarot, I realized that tarot can be incredibly literal, mostly when I've started to use it in my feng shui readings for clients. And the story I told last week was that I had a client and I was doing a feng shui reading for her home. And before every feng shui reading I do for a one-on-one client, I do pull a series of tarot spreads to help me further interpret the energies of the home. And at the center of her tarot spread was the Nine of Swords, which is a woman sitting on a narrow bed, her head in her hands, nine swords hanging over her, and she has a floral fabric on the bed. And I was like, oh, there's going to be something about a chair or a bed in my client's reading, and this is causing her actually a lot of anxiety and worries, and probably that physical item of furniture needs to go, right? And like I said last week, this client had a chaise lounge that had belonged to another family member of hers, and it was sitting right pretty much like not directly in the center of her home, but in a very prominent place in her home. And it had a lot of particular associations for her. And it also carried the energy of her other family member who had owned it for decades, right? And then I knew tarot was literally telling me there is a chair or bed-like figure in this person's home, right? So the like emotional counsel meaning of the Nine of Swords is overthinking, fear-based thinking, rumination, right? But this was saying there is a thing in her home that is a chair or bed or seat of some sort that is probably not making life very easy for her, right? So that's like the literal interpretation of chair of tarot, this piece of furniture, right? So I had another feng shui client. So this is a person who had taken my feng shui course, and her husband had received a very serious health diagnosis, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I might have talked about this on the podcast before, but I'll retell this story. I was just like, I want to help her. I hate that they're suffering like this, and here I am in a feng shui class. Maybe there's something extra I can do. So I was thinking about her one day, and I pulled a card being like, what is the root cause of any energy in their home that might be contributing to this health diagnosis? And I got the card, the King of Wands. So I knew immediately we were dealing again with a chair. Unfortunately, there's not a ton of furniture representations in tarot. So like usually if you're pulling a literal tarot card, you're getting something about a chair or a bed, because there's lots of thrones, which to me means chairs. And when there's wands involved, so when there's a king involved, it's a older male figure for me generally. When there's wands involved and it's a health issue, it usually means either the spine or inflammation to me. And if there's a chair involved, there's usually some sort of seat. Like if there's a throne, I'm like, okay, I'm going to look at seats in the home, places where they're sitting. So I immediately messaged her, and I was like, I know this sounds kind of crazy, and she had not asked me to do this, but I was like, is there a chair that your husband is really partial to and sits in a lot? I'd love to know more, because tarot is suggesting that there is something there that could be contributing to his health stuff going on. And she immediately wrote back and said, yes, he sits all day long in a chair that had belonged to her now deceased father. It's where her now deceased father had spent the last couple of years of his life. And she had wanted to get rid of that chair after he passed. But her husband had insisted on keeping it and had been sitting in it like 10 hours a day for the last 3 years. And I was like, okay, there is something about the energy of this chair. I'm not saying that the energy of the chair was the only thing contributing, but from a feng shui perspective, this is something that we can mitigate, right? Like this may be contributing to the health issues that are going on. So we talked about some remedies that she could do for the chair, and, you know, should she get rid of it really? And a couple of other things that came up with the chair. So again, that's another literal example of tarot pointing you towards you know, just kind of the direct answer as much as possible via the imagery on a card in helping you come up with a solution. So another thing that happened is I recently had a client who was really, she's really been going through some mood struggles, and she has pretty much attacked this from every angle. She goes to therapy. She's done so much healing and trauma resolution work in her life too. And you know, so she's been somebody who has had a lot of mood disorders, but has been doing, you know, at least the emotional work, right? And when we were talking about it, but she's still feeling, you know, pretty low. And we were talking about it, I was pulling tarot, and I kept pulling the Sun card. And for me, the Sun card is very much, when we're talking about kind of like the more emotional counsel aspect of tarot, it's very much about the inner child and letting the inner child be safe to be visible and seen and appreciated. And I was like, oh, she need to do some more inner child work. And then it struck me, I was like, I think tarot is talking about the literal goddamn sun. Like, and I talked to this client, I was like, how much time are you spending outdoors? How are your vitamin D levels? Have you gotten baseline tested for minerals, vitamin levels? Like, what does your blood work look like? And she was like, oh, she just doesn't get, she doesn't go outside. She lives in a really big city. She doesn't have super easy access to a lot of nature. She spends a lot of time indoors on screens. And I was like, I think tarot might be saying something that could help you resolve some of these emotional issues you're struggling with is literally more sun. And actually, I have been diving deep a lot into circadian rhythm and sunlight and screen type stuff over the past couple of weeks. And I want to do a podcast about it in the future. So it was actually really top of mind for me too. And so that to me was like another literal example where tarot wasn't saying like, oh, you need to heal this and that stuff, you know, or you need to think about the inner child from this perspective. The tarot was like screaming at me, like, tell her to get more sun. And it was using the Sun card to do that. So, you know, and I don't know if that's really the case for her, right? That was just something that happened recently. And so hopefully she'll be able to maybe do some health work, some blood work to figure out if some of her mood issues are caused by more physical issues. So, but the final story, and there's a million more like this, but these are the four that just came to mind. This is such a prosaic one, but it was so funny and really illustrated the power of literal tarot to me, was that about 6 to 9 months ago or so, the house we had lived in, the Nature Witch Cottage, the town we lived in had required everybody to move off of well water, which most people in this town had, and move to municipal water, to city water. And in order to do that, we had to get a plumber out, do some things like in the yard, yada, yada, you know, and they had to dig up some of the pipes and reconnect them and reconnect them to the house, whatever. And everything seemed to go fine. But like a month later, we got our water usage bill and it said that we were using like, I don't know, like 8,000 gallons of water a month. And it's me and AJ, and we're pretty conservative with our water use. And I was like, this really doesn't seem possible. And it happened again the next month. And we realized, oh my God, when something has gone wrong with the way that the pipes got connected. And we had a plumber out, and he's like, the leak could be anywhere in the yard. It could be over here. It could be under your house. It could be in your, you know, we might have to like totally get a bulldozer in here and dig up your backyard to find if the leak is there. And we have to get this leak remediation service and this leak remediation service. And I was like, oh my God. And he's like, it could cost $10,000. And I was like, this is not how I envisioned my life going. And then I was like, I'm going to use tarot to see if I can find out where the leak is. And so I asked tarot, like, where is the leak in our yard? And it gave me the Ace of Cups reversed. So if you know anything about the Ace of Cups, emotionally to me, especially when upright, it means talking about being tender, about a vulnerable desire that's on your heart, something you really, really want, like the secret wish on your heart. But maybe you haven't even said out loud to yourself, right? But then in this case, literally, I was like, I knew immediately what I was saying. I was like, the leak, and actually, I should say what the depiction of it is, it's a cup of water that a hand is holding out. That's what the Ace of Cups looks like. So I got the Ace of Cups reversed, and I was like, the leak is at the start of the pipe connection. Because how I knew this, and kind of your brain is like making all these inferences, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I know Kung Fu, right? You like from the Matrix, you kind of just look at it and you're like, if you've been doing tarot long enough, you're like, oh my God, I know what this means. I was like, the leak is at the start of where the pipes connect. The cup upside down was representing a leak of water. The ace is a beginning. And I was like, that is the start. And I was like, I knew this. And AJ was like, that's crazy. It could be anywhere. And I was like, no, tarot is absolutely right. The leak is at the beginning junction of where the pipes connect at the front of our yard. Now, of course, I didn't use only tarot to then remediate the leak and just hire somebody. And I was like, just dig in the front, we'll find it. We did end up having to get a leak remediation service that uses like a sonar radar to figure out where a leak is. And guess what? They confirmed the leak was at the very start of the juncture of the pipe at the front of our house. And I was like, oh, tarot, you did not do me wrong. You knew exactly where the leak was, and you did the best you could using the limited imagery on the card to convey that to me, right? So this is the kind of stuff that I'm going to be teaching in the Joyful Tarot, because there are layers of ways to use tarot that are way beyond any of the basic and stereotypical learnings that you have perhaps learned in your own tarot journey. And they are super fun. It's so much fun to have this connection, this language that you're learning, where the universe wants to help you, right? In all of those cases, the universe was using what it could through tarot and the imagery in the deck to try to give me the best answers to help myself or help somebody else, right? Tarot deeply wants to help us. And sometimes it's a little hard, right? Because there's only 78 cards in the deck and there's a limited set of imagery, but it's doing its best through the imagery and through what you learn to associate with the cards to give you literal answers. So you can ask specific things like, why is my car broken? What is the issue? Is there a piece of furniture in my home that I should look at from a feng shui perspective, right? Is there a health issue I'm facing? What would help me, you know, better deal with the health issue that I'm facing, right? And sometimes I've told very four straightforward stories, right? For me, those cards clicked right away. I've been reading tarot for a long time, so I knew immediately what they meant, literally. And it may not be as straightforward for you, right? But I encourage you, if you're listening to this podcast and you're enjoying it and you're thinking about joining the Joyful Tarot, read tarot literally. Ask tarot a literal question. Great questions to ask about literal stuff are like physical repair questions, health questions, feng shui furniture questions, right? Anything where you're like being geared toward finding a physical answer could be really useful for tarot. And by when I say physical, I mean like in this material plane, like a piece of furniture, a broken household item, right? Feng shui is great for physical stuff because it's going to try to point you to areas of your home, cups, water leaks, whatever. So I hope that makes sense. It's fun and it's a little tricky at first too, but the more and more you do it, the more tarot reveals itself to you as just an incredible tool for helping you in your life. And that's what I want to teach you in the Joyful Tarot, is like how tarot wants to help you, right? How tarot wants to support you. If you consider yourself somebody who is a bit of a perfectionist, who has anxiety, is a people pleaser, but you're wanting to read tarot in a more joyful, confident, and intuitive way, the Joyful Tarot will be that for you, right? This is the course that's going to turn tarot from fearful to fun. And we're just going to have a lot of fun together. I can already tell. Tons of people have signed up that are beautiful. It's going to be a really great course. And if you're thinking about taking it, or if you have any questions, just email me Catherine@CatherineDAndrews.com or DM me @CatherineAndrews on Instagram. And I'll be back at you next week. Have a great one, guys.
That's it for this week's Sunday Soother. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have a moment, go on over to iTunes and leave me a 5-star review. That's how other people find this podcast and the message of hope and compassionate personal growth I'm hoping to spread to many more people just like you. You can find me on Instagram @CatherineAndrews and find out more about the Sunday Soother at thesundaysoother.com. You can also check out my services, courses, and coaching at CatherineDAndrews.com. Have a great day ahead.